Radio Prague News.
Russian intelligence services' interest in the Czech Republic in 2011 focused mainly on political and economic issues, military intelligence has confirmed. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has expressed concern over recent developments in Russia. And tennis player Petra Kvitová has made it past the first round at the U.S. Open. The core of Russian intelligence services' interest in the Czech Republic in 2011 focused on politics and the economy, Czech military intelligence says in its annual report released on Tuesday. By contrast, Chinese intelligence services were reportedly most active in technological espionage. Military intelligence also detected activities by intelligence services from the Middle East, an unclassified part of the report revealed. According to the Czech Civilian Counterintelligence Service, BIS, its annual report released last week, Russian agents were mainly interested in information linked to the expansion of the Temelin nuclear power plant. A Czech-Russian consortium is one of three bidders in the ongoing tender. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has expressed concern over recent developments in Russia, including what he called a tightening of conditions and the restraint of expression by civic groups. Taking part in a meeting of diplomats at Prague's Černín Palace on Tuesday, the foreign minister suggested in some ways it was as if the country was headed back to the time of the Tsars. At the same time, the foreign minister stressed that Prague had an eminent interest in strong ties with Moscow. He called Russia a key power and partner. The foreign minister on Tuesday also reflected on the recent sentencing of members of the Russian punk group Pussy Riot to 2 years in prison. Mr. Schwarzenberg has consistently supported the trio, and on Tuesday he compared their performance in Moscow, which landed them jail time, to social happenings in Europe 40 years ago. Police have blocked an estimated 15 million crowns belonging to MP and former Central Bohemian governor David Rath and his wife, according to sources, including news site IDNES. The funds were deposited in the safekeeping of Mr. Rath's lawyer, Adam Černý. Mr. Rath is being held in custody on corruption charges. He was caught by police with an alleged 7 million crown bribe on his person in May. His lawyer, Adam Černý, refused to confirm the exact amount but called the steps taken by the police intimidation. He said it was likely he would put forward a complaint after discussing the matter with his client. The lower house is to meet at the beginning of September to decide whether or not to strip Mr. Rath of immunity so he can face additional charges. In sport, tennis player Petra Kvitová has made it past the first round at the final Grand Slam event of the season, the U.S. Open. She defeated Slovenian opponent Polona Herzog, 65th in the WTA rankings. The first set came down to a tiebreak, which Kvitová won, and the Czech fully dominated the second set. The final score was 7-6, 6-1. In other news, three streets in Prague's Dolní Chabry district will be named after Czech hockey players who lost their lives in the Lokomotiv Yaroslavl tragedy last year. Josef Vašíček, Jan Marek and Karel Rachunek and 40 others, including crew members on board their plane, died at the scene when the aircraft crashed during takeoff. One of two survivors died later in hospital. All three of the Czech players were added to the Czech Hockey Hall of Fame last year. The decision to name streets in their honor was taken by the Prague Council. And finally, we'll take a quick look at the weather. Mostly clear skies are expected on Wednesday. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of around 27 degrees Celsius. As always, you'll find more news and stories at our website, radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's it for now.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Masha Walensky. Coming up in our program, we'll look at problems that some foreigners have with applying for Czech long-term visas at some of the country's embassies. Then we will hear about Tomáš Sedláček, a World War II veteran and political prisoner who passed away on Monday, aged 94. And later on, we revisit the town in Svitavy on the Bohemian-Moravian border, the birthplace of Oskar Schindler. All that and more coming up, so please do stay with us. Czech Ombudsman Pavel Varvažovský has lodged an official complaint to the European Commission over long-term problems with the visa appointment system at Czech embassies in Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and some other post-Soviet countries. The Ombudsman and some NGOs say that in some of the cases, applicants are unable to book an appointment in order to simply apply for a visa, which may actually be encroaching on European legislation, as Jaromír Pavlík reports.
The Czech Foreign Ministry launched the visa point system 2 years ago, hoping it would improve the process of issuing long-term Czech visas. The online system allows foreigners to request an appointment at the local Czech embassy to present their application and is officially free of charge. But applicants are often unable to register at the visa point website, and many therefore resort to getting their appointment with the help of middlemen, a practice the Czech ministry was seeking to uproot. The problem, most prominent in countries like Ukraine, Kazakhstan and other post-Soviet states, has existed for over a year. Pavel Pořízek from the Ombudsman's office says talks with Czech government officials have failed to reach a solution, which is why Ombudsman Varvařovský took the issue to the European Commission.
At the end of February, the Ombudsman met with people from the Interior and the Foreign Ministries. He was assured that the visa point problem would be solved by the end of June. However, nothing has changed. That was the main reason why the Ombudsman had followed up on his earlier warning, and in July he approached the European Commission over the matter.
The Ombudsman asked the European Commission to evaluate whether the situation is in breach of European law, a view held by Martin Rozumek, director of OPU, a Prague-based organization helping refugees.
We believe that there are certain categories of immigrants that must be accepted according to current EU legislation, the EU directives, at least students on long-term visa, and family members that are waiting outside to be unified with their families in the Czech Republic. We believe that they benefit from the EU directives and they have, we may say, right to enter and come to the Czech Republic. So we expect that at least these two groups, there is a reason for the Commission to act.
Various immigrant and refugee advocacy groups have also warned about possible corruption within the immigration proceedings, accusing the Czech Foreign Ministry of inaction. On Friday, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg denied all corruption allegations, saying the ministry found no evidence of any illegal actions. The Foreign Ministry says no statistics are kept of appointments made at Czech embassies and general consulates abroad. However, Pavel Pořízek from the Ombudsman's office says they have produced their own analysis to support their petition.
We have been independently monitoring the system's functionality, so we were able to provide some data analysis to the European Commission. There are 14 charts of statistics documenting the visa point system malfunctions. Now we are expecting the European Commission's reaction.
Each year, almost 26,000 non-EU citizens apply for long-term Czech visas. Nearly one half of the applicants come from Russia and Ukraine. There are no official quotas set for the number of permits released per year. But as some of the NGOs suggest, the malfunctioning system might in fact be a form of regulating the numbers of applications to consider.
Jaromír Pavlík there reporting on the visa point system. If you have ever had a problem with obtaining a Czech visa, let us know your story. You can do so via email at english@radio.cz. General Tomáš Sedláček, a World War II veteran who spent 9 years in communist jails, died on Monday, aged 94. A respected soldier, he fought both on the Western and Eastern fronts before being handed a life sentence by Czechoslovakia's communist courts. After 1989, Mr. Sedláček had taken up the cause of those who suffered under communism. Maggie Lund reports on the life of the late General Sedláček.
A military career seemed to be on the cards for Tomáš Sedláček from an early age. Born in Vienna in 1918 into the family of an army officer, he left school at 16 to enroll in an officer training course. By the autumn of 1938, under threat from Nazi occupation, the young lieutenant participated in the mobilisation of the Czechoslovak army, as he recalled in a 2010 interview for Czech TV.
I am glad I took part in the mobilization and that I could experience the nation's last efforts to hold on to freedom and its readiness to defend it. When the Munich Agreement came and then the occupation, it was a huge blow for us. But looking at it in retrospect, knowing what happened in Poland and France, I think fighting against Germany would have been a gesture of non-surrender, but the consequences would have been terrible.
After the Nazi occupation of his country, Sedláček fled to France and later to England, where he served in the Czech exile forces before being transferred to the Eastern Front, where he saw some of the heaviest fighting in the Dulkar Pass. He was then dropped behind enemy lines to assist the Slovak national uprising. After the war, Sedláček continued his military career and took a teaching post at the military academy in Prague. But in 1951, he was tried and convicted of high treason and espionage in a show trial.
When I heard the sentence at the show trial, I had to laugh. It was so incredibly absurd that I couldn't take it seriously. But it was indeed serious. I was sentenced along with one of my subordinates, Josef Kučera. Unfortunately, the prosecutor appealed his verdict and he got the rope. I only caught a glimpse of him later, before he was executed.
Sedláček himself served 9 years in prisons and labor camps. After his release, he worked in various jobs until his rehabilitation in 1989. He later became involved in the post-communist justice campaign, the Confederation of Political Prisoners, always speaking out for the need for justice and remembrance. But he said he did not feel any hatred for his jailers.
I said this before, I despise those people. What we want is the court to say, this man did this. We don't care if they're given 2 years in jail or just a suspended sentence. I say that as long as we breathe, it is our duty towards those who died in the camps or were executed to speak out and say, it has happened once and there is no guarantee it can't happen again. People should realize that the freedom that we enjoy so naturally now was gained at huge sacrifice and hardship, and that we have to cultivate our freedom and not forget. Not forget, that's the most important thing.
Those that knew him have described him as quiet and modest. He took the time to give thoughtful interviews and speak out about his past until the very end of his life. President Václav Klaus, who awarded him the Order of Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, described him on Monday as a true soldier.
That was Maggie Lunt on the life and legacy of the World War II veteran and political prisoner Tomáš Sedláček. If you're interested in finding out more about Czech 20th century history, have a listen to our regular feature, Czech History, every other Saturday or on our website at radio.cz. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And now it's time for this week's edition of Spotlight. We visit Svitavy, a town on the Bohemian-Moravian border, formerly a major textile center and the birthplace of Oskar Schindler, who saved hundreds of Jews from the Holocaust.
You are not very likely to wander into Svitavy by chance. Located on both the major road and railway line connecting Moravia and eastern Bohemia, for most people Svitavy is just a name on their itinerary. But if you do come and take a closer look, you'll find a little town proud of its past and working for a better future. Once an important town for Moravia's textile industry, repopulated after the expulsion of Svitavy's German-speaking inhabitants, it only recently showed its pride in perhaps its most famous native personality, Oskar Schindler. Svitavy got its name from the little river Svitava that rises near the town running south. A small settlement at a ford across the river, it grew into one of the biggest centers of textile industry in Moravia. But the times when thousands of people moved in to work in its factories are long gone. One of the people to have recently come here to live is Daniel Lapton from Michigan in the United States. He came with his wife 2.5 years ago to help establish a church in Svitavy and says that local people made settling in really easy.
I think I was surprised at the welcome that Svitavy gave me. I think even after 2.5 years, I'm almost a celebrity here because I'm the only native-speaking English person for many kilometers around. But I was surprised. The schools opened up their arms and said, please come, and the mayor and everybody, the music programs. I was surprised, and I'm still surprised at how friendly and welcoming people are to me. There have been no negative surprises. I enjoy Svitavy very much.
Svitavy was once called Svitau by most of its inhabitants. The majority of the 10,000 people who lived here until after the Second World War were Moravian Germans, and Svitavy was in fact where the name Sudetenland and Sudeten German was first used to describe the German-speaking community of Bohemia and Moravia. Radoslav Fikejc is a historian in the local museum.
Pojem Sudety to je víceméně také svitavský termín, protože místní pracovníci.
The term Sudety or Sudetenland originated in this region as well. A local librarian, Dr. Jesser, used this term probably for the first time in 1902. He used it in an analogy to the expression Alpendeutsche, referring to the Germans in the Alps. He was probably the first to call Germans in Bohemia and Moravia Sudetendeutsche.
From the start, the river provided water for the town's textile workshops and manufacturers. The town square, recently restored, was soon surrounded by spinning mills, dye plants and other factories.
Soukenictví, plátenictví a tkalcovství tvořilo přirozenou obživu města.
Drapery, cloth making and weaving was a natural way of making a living for the town and its inhabitants from the 16th century onwards. This period was also the golden age of the town. It became a major textile producer. In the 20th century, 133 textile factories were registered here.
Bylo registrováno 133 protokolovaných továren textilní výroby.
After the end of the Second World War, ethnic Germans, who accounted for more than 90% of the town's inhabitants, were expelled, and the town was repopulated with Czechs. The post-war change in population and the following years of communist rule was a period in which Svitavy didn't like to look back and remember the town's past glory. Apart from the square, perhaps the most precious historic landmark is the Ottendorfer Library, a testament to the incredible life journey of Valentin Oswald Ottendorfer, who was born here in 1829.
Jako student bojoval v roce 1848 na barikádách.
As a student, he fought on Prague's barricades in 1848. His participation in the democratic life of students in Prague and Vienna made him leave for the United States. His beginnings were tough, but he eventually became a journalist and married the widow of the most important German language newspapers in the United States, the Staatszeitung. That brought him enough money to be able to start a number of philanthropy projects, both in the US and in Svitavy. He built a hospital, an orphanage and a poorhouse in his hometown, as well as a library and a reading room.
19. století postaví veřejnou knihovnu a čítárnu.
Another self-made man from Svitavy was Oskar Schindler. In 1944, he moved nearly 1,200 Jewish prisoners from the Auschwitz concentration camp to his factory south of Svitavy, saving them from extermination. The town only began to appreciate him after the fall of communism and after the 1993 film Schindler's List. Daniel Lupton again.
Yes, I did know about Oskar Schindler. In fact, I used that as sort of the hook to introduce my friends. Svitavy, where is that? Well, have you ever seen the movie Schindler's List? Oh, yeah. Well, I said that all happened in or near Svitavy. Oskar Schindler grew up in Svitavy. So when I have American friends come, we show them the house that Schindler grew up in. We take them to the museum where there's an Oskar Schindler display. We show them the monument in the park, which is just a few meters from our flat. And I even take them south of here to the factory.
The monument to Oskar Schindler in Svitavy was erected in 1994, 50 years after the life-saving journey. Although he had a controversial personality and was an unscrupulous businessman, Radoslav Fikejc from the Municipal Museum says the town is certainly proud of what he did.
Město Svitavy připomíná nikoliv Oskara Schindlera jako personu,
The town of Svitavy does not commemorate Oskar Schindler as a person, but rather his deed, saving 1,200 human lives. For us, he remains a savior, someone who did a great thing during the Holocaust, something that does not often happen in history. Schindler himself, as one of the Jews he saved said, had several personalities in one.
Je vlastně několik osobností v sobě.
After the fall of communism, the town had to face a breakup of the industrial giants created after the war, with many of the old factories having to close down. But this year, a part of a large factory compound built in the 1920s right next to the town square was converted into Fabrika, a multi-purpose cultural center. Its director Petr Mor says the town took advantage of the new possibilities from the European Union.
Ta prapůvodní příčina, proč se město k tomuto kroku rozhodlo, bylo to, že město hledalo.
The original reason why the town decided to go ahead with this was that we were looking for a new place for the library. At first, we wanted to have a new building erected in the center of the town, but then we found out about possible funding from the European Union. And this old textile factory met all the conditions.
Apart from the library, the four-story building has a concert hall, meeting rooms, an internet cafe and other facilities. Although some people say the investment of some 200 million crowns, or nearly 10 million US dollars, was far too big, its director argues that Fabrika will be there for future generations, making the town more enjoyable to live in. For Daniel Lupton, living in Svitavy is great already.
Well, there are a lot of things to like about Svitavy. From the size, it's a perfect size. It's not a little village, and it's not Prague. It doesn't have a million people. It's small enough that whenever I go to town, I see people I know and I'm greeted. It is large enough. I can find almost anything I want here. It's a wonderful place to raise a family. The city is nice, and yet within walking distance, I can be out in nature, out in the hills, out in the forest. It's a lovely place to be.
That edition of Spotlight by Jan Richter was first broadcast in December 2008. And we will conclude our Tuesday program with another episode of the popular language series, ABC of Czech.
Welcome to Radio Prague's program in which we examine the Czech language from head to toe. Or in other words, we look at idioms which refer to parts of the body. Today's topic is teeth. The Czech word for tooth is
zub,
and the plural is
zuby.
In idioms, teeth often symbolize aggression, such as to fight tooth and nail.
Zuby nechty.
When animals bare their teeth, they usually want to demonstrate how strong and dangerous they are. In Czech, to bare your teeth,
ukázat zuby,
means to let other people know you can bite. An internationally recognized idiom, which needn't be explained, is
oko za oko, zub za zub,
or an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Another phrase, which is similar in both Czech and English, is
po zuby ozbrojený,
or armed to the tooth. The expression
dát někomu do zubů
means to punch somebody in the mouth. If that happens to you and you do not want to show you are in pain, you have to
zatnout zuby,
grit your teeth, or keep a stiff upper lip. You may also want to
držet jazyk za zuby,
literally to hold your tongue behind your teeth, or simply keep your mouth shut. But teeth idioms are also connected with eating. So if you are looking for
něco na zub,
you want to find a bite to eat. Another idiom originally connected with eating or food is
mít něčeho plné zuby,
or to be fed up to the back teeth. The Czech expression
brousit si zuby
means to sharpen your imaginary teeth in order to sink them into something. Languages also use teeth idioms to refer to health, age or quality.
darovanému koni na zuby nehleď.
Means don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Podívat se něčemu na zoubek.
Literally, to look something at its little tooth means to look deeper into something, to examine it. When talking about something very old and falling apart, like buildings or works of art, Czechs say they have been damaged by
zub času,
the tooth of time or ravages of time. For living things, the ultimate impersonation of the tooth of time is
zubatá,
literally a large tooth person, better known in English as the Grim Reaper. And on that rather macabre note, we end today's Czech language program. Until next time,
nashledanou.
Take care.
That edition of ABC of Czech brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. We, as always, like to hear from you, so if you have any comments or questions for us, do get in touch. You can write to us at Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, or send us an email at english@radio.cz. For now, from me, Masha Vilinsky, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.